The most impressive hero theseion is that of Antiochus I. The one I just discussed that's only partially surviving was for his father, but the one I will talk about now is remarkable in its preservation. Now, Antiochus I, of course, was the one who had brokered an alliance with the Romans, and so he was assured of his independence by becoming a client king of Rome. His hero Theseion was located high in the mountains at a place called Nemrodda, that's its modern name, located on the highest summit of the eastern or Anti-Taurus mountain range. His hero Theseion, or seat of the gods, towers 2150 meters or some 6,000 feet above sea level. And we know from an inscription and from other information that his hero Theseion was supposed to serve as the tomb of this king. From the vantage point of Karakush, you can look up into the mountains and you can see a small tumulus on the very highest peak of this range. And within that tumulus seems to have been the tomb of Antiochus I. A processional way from Arsamia, the hero Theseion of his father, led up to the hero Theseion of Antiochus I. And it is a 5-hour, very steep climb. In the winter, this area is covered in snow, so it's not an easy passage to make. The hero Theseion of Antiochus I was probably begun about 40 BC, and it consists chiefly of an enormous tumulus, 150 feet tall, made out of gravel. And I'll talk a bit about this tumulus at the end of this lecture, but for now I want to talk about what was surrounding this tumulus. Now, as I mentioned, at Karakush, the tomb of the royal women of the Commagenian house, there were three sets of Doric columns that kind of encircled this tumulus with sculpture on top of them. At the tumulus of Antiochus I, there are also three focal points surrounding the tumulus that had a great deal of sculpture. The most important of the three was the section that faced the east. Here were several terraces that reached down from the foot of the tumulus. The top terrace that just abutted the lower edge of the tumulus was a long platform that contained statues of giant gods. They were designed to be seen from a distance, designed perhaps even to be seen from Karakush or perhaps Arsamia. And they are enormous, each of the heads standing about 5 or more feet tall. The bodies are quite block-like, and they were fitted together without clamps or mortar to better resist earthquakes. This is quite an active geologic zone, and a lot of earthquakes take place here. But even today, earthquakes have taken their toll on these statues. And when you visit Nemrodda, you see the toppled heads and bodies of these figures lying about the lower terraces of this hero Theseion. Each of the gods was identified by Greek inscriptions carved on the back of the seat of these gods. And each was presented as a composite, or we often use the term syncretized, combination of a Greek and Persian god. At the center of this row of seated statues was the most important god in the Commagenian pantheon, a god that in his Greek guise would be considered Zeus, or in his Persian form was Oromazdes, the supreme god of heaven. Now, in some ways, he is presented looking like a Greek deity with a heavy beard, but he also is wearing a Persian-type tiara, which has the form of spiky rays of sun emitting from a crown. And he also carries A barsum. That's a Persian word. It's essentially a bundle of sticks that symbolize the sacred fire of the Persians. But if you were a Greek and looking at this, you might interpret it as thunderbolts, which we know in Greek terms Zeus would carry. Now, Zeus was flanked by two deities. On one side was a composite god that was essentially Apollo and Mithras, as well as Helios and Hermes, sort of all these divine elements rolled together, essentially a sun god and messenger god. Also next to Zeus was the composite god we've met already, Heracles Artagnes. There was also one female figure, and this was the goddess Commagene herself. She was a representation of the kingdom, a personification of Commagene, but also she was shown as a goddess of plenty and fertility. She's portrayed holding a cornucopia filled with fruits and flowers and wearing a crown that also has fruits and wheat attached to it. This statue was one of the last ones to remain intact, and in fact, photographs of Commagene survive that show her intact seated on her throne. Unfortunately, sometime in the 1950s, her statue was struck by lightning and her head fell to the ground. So this is, again, quite a tumultuous zone.